what I'm hoping to get is we will start with, there's an agenda on your desk, it looks like this. We will start with a rollover discussion. We'll take a look at the motions. And I'm not going to promise anything about the motions at all, other than we will look at them. They could be voted on. Let me just editorialize a little bit. There's a motion on here for youth services, and we had a meeting. I attended a meeting the other afternoon with the TCOG group, and there were some discussions about youth services. I don't think it would be appropriate today that this legislature all of a sudden said, okay, this is what we want to do with youth services, because we already know where it is in the budget, and I think we have to give the TCOG group time to talk over what they want to, what they might be able to come up with for us, and rather than move ahead quickly on that, you know, I'd rather not do that. I'm looking at this whole process. We have rollover meetings scheduled, many of them, but I'm also looking at this process ending hopefully sometime in December when we get a final budget. So we will, I believe, we'll be in this discussion for from now until then in some form or another. As gut-wrenching as that is, I don't think this is all going to get settled in two or three voting meetings. I think things will come into play after November 2nd that may change the future of all counties in New York State. And, you know, Lord knows, and I don't want to, no one knows what's going to happen after the election. And, you know, so we have a lot of things to think about. We have a short list here of the items that people have put in, those of you who have sent them in, and I appreciate that, Kevin does, and the county administrator. We'll start this off with a rollover discussion. Joe Mariano.
Thanks, Jim. I've handed out a couple of pages of summary information on rollover for you to take a look at. And let me just go through what you have in front of you, and then we can go through some of the details. On the cover sheet, the rollover summary is really a condensed version of one of the blue pages in your budget. And that same blue page in the budget is also the third page into the handout. So if you want to know kind of the bottom line information about rollover, look at the first page. If you want to see how we applied rollover and one-time money in the 2011 budget, that's the second page. And I'll go through each of these. The third page in your packet is a copy of what's in the budget document. It says 2009-10 rollover report for use in 2010 actual and so forth. That's just a copy of the blue page in your budget. Gives you a breakdown by department of where the rollover came from and how it's being applied. And the last element of the packet is the excerpt from the policy manual itself that talks about what rollover is and how prior year's balances should be applied. So that's what you have in front of you. Now, if you'd like, let me just start at the start and give you a summary of where we began and where we are now with respect to available rollover. That's on the first page of the summary. So when the process began, we had $1.4 million in rollover money that had been accumulated that was available for use in 2010. And that's where we started this calendar year in 2010. Late spring, early summer, departments came to you after Dave Squires had certified how much was in their rollover accounts, and they asked to spend some of their rollover amounts. And that's the second number you see on that summary. You approved the expenditure of $137,259 in rollover for this year, to buy things this year, which left a balance of $1.26 million. Now, in this budget, I've recommended the application of $346,000, almost $347,000 worth of rollover to support generally one-time items. And I tried to stick to that general principle If you're going to use one-time money, try to use it for one-time expenses. And I won't say that my batting average is perfect, but I tried to stick to that general principle. And in doing that, applied $346,000.
Are those one-time requests from departments?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Julie, could you please share? I couldn't hear your question.
I didn't know where it was.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make sure that the one-time requests, one-time recommendations that Joe just mentioned were ones that the departments had requested.
Thank you.
As a part of the budget process, we also took back some rollover, and that's this famous word Tyler, which is target in lieu of rollover, where we've agreed to let a department spend a certain amount of money for targeted expenses, but in return they gave up rollover that was in an equal amount. We took it back. I should say that number is kind of inflated, because in that column, as you go into the detailed side, you're going to see that the planning department had a Tyler of $57,000, when in fact the planning department simply relinquished $57,000 in rollover that it had in its account and gave it back to the county, and that's included in that 109 figure. So the bottom line is there's $806,000 in remaining rollover for use this year, next year, or in a subsequent year. The next page in is the specific allocations of rollover and then one-time money in the 2011 budget. And these are included in my recommendations. And you can see how much was asked for and how much was given, and a very brief summary of how that money was used. So, again, I think in general you'll see that the money was restricted to one-time type expenses. However, again, the batting average isn't perfect. There are some ongoing things that are supported by rollover funds, although I think that's the minority of the requests. So there you can see the $393,000 was requested in rollover, and I approved most of that. Recommended that we spend $346,000, almost $347,000. The bottom part of that page, I thought you might also want to know the use of one-time money. This really isn't departmental rollover. It's not earmarked for a department. It's fund balance, and you'd like to see how that money was applied as well. And there's the itemized list of how money was applied from fund balance to this budget to pay for certain things. Generally, they're very traditional items where we historically have funded them out of fund balance, including capital allocations, and I did misspell aquifer. But whenever you see one time, it means it's drawn from our fund balance. And you can go through that list and see how that was applied. I would highlight, I guess, the big one in there, which is $196,000. I pulled $196,000 out of our reserves, and I used that to fund in addition to the contingency account. And if you recall, that contingency account was bumped up by that amount to cover the second half of the year for our CHAW. So that if we decide that we haven't gotten a break even by mid-year, or that we need more time to review the certified home health agency, it's kind of a safety net. There's money in contingency to support that, and that contingency in turn is paid for with one-time money, with reserves. You can see at the bottom of the page, it gets a little confusing from the DM fund. There is an item in here for the fuel facility, $100,000, that is paid for out of fund balances, but it's not the general fund balance. It's the highway fund balance. So in terms of what's coming out of our general fund reserves, I deducted that $100,000 at the bottom. So the $489,286 is the amount of reserves that we applied for specific purposes. We also applied $203,000 for general tax relief. That's in there as basically the excess of expenditures over revenues to the tune of $200,203. So in all, we used $693,000 worth of fund balance in this budget as well. The next page in is simply, again, what you've already seen in your budget. It's rollover by department, what they had, what they've spent this year, what they want to spend next year, and what's left for future years by department. And then, again, the policy itself is behind that.
Julie.
The bottom of page 2, where you said for tax relief.
Yes.
Without that, the tax levy would be at what, 5.6 or something?
Yeah, 5.6, 5.7, something like that.
Carol.
Yeah.
And then Pat.
So this is rollover that was from their 2009 budget.
It's the accumulated. Some of it could come from 2009. It could have been accumulated, as you see here in that last column, available for use in 2011, 2012. If they don't spend it, it accumulates and is there for them in a subsequent year. So it could be in 2009. It could be, again, you can see that if you go to the blue page or the detailed page, the 2008 roll forward to 2009, that's what is available from prior years for those departments.
Okay, so then the projection that you made for 2010 would have been as of a certain date. My questions are, what is that date, and then would it have changed between even when you prepared the budget
Once it's certified by the finance commissioner, that's it. And then the question is, how much of it has been applied this year, and how much is proposed to be applied for the next year, and that's what this shows you.
Thanks. Pat.
two questions. The very top OTR on page 2 says request minus 500. What does that minus mean on that?
They'd actually proposed to give back the $500. They had $500 in their rollover account. And my recommendation is basically leave it in your rollover account for a subsequent year.
Because I saw it on the next page, too.
Yeah. And if I could just make one other note, and I think all of you know this. Rollover is fund balance. So sometimes when we talk about rollover, it sounds like it's in that proverbial lockbox someplace, and we don't account for it as a part of our fund balance, but we do. So when we look at this amount, it is part and parcel of the county's overall general fund balance. So the extent that it is spent, that reduces fund balance, which affects liquidity and so forth. So again, there's a note next to this amount of money that it was earned by a department. It's there for a department's use. However, it is a part of our general fund balance.
And I had a second question. The total from the general fund balance, the figure at the bottom, what part of our fund balance does that represent, or how much of our fund balance remains if we apply this?
Well, the general fund balance at the end of 2009 is $11 million. Uh-huh. So one way of looking at it is you have $11 million. Technically, $1,263,000 should be subtracted from that $11 million if you consider that rollover is a dedicated fund balance. It comes off that. Also, the $11 million, then part of that is allocated for Target, and the Target's over $6 million. So you keep pushing down against the $11 million to get to a smaller amount of money. And the fund balance has been between $11 and $12 million for the last several years. It hasn't grown. It hasn't declined dramatically, but total spending has gone up, and fund balance hasn't grown proportionally. So it's actually a smaller percentage of the total budget than it has been.
But I still don't understand. I'm sorry, but would we then, if we apply this 692, would we subtract that then from that 11 million?
Yes. Sure.
Okay.
Plus the rollover.
Plus the rollover.
Yeah.
Okay.
Martha Peter.
So this is the rollover discussion is morphing into fund balance discussion. When we talk, David, about our target fund balance, that's meant to be what percentage of our overall budget and where are we in relation to that?
Well, on the cover sheet, it's listed as the 6.475, which is calculated as a percentage of the 2011.
Where are you?
I thought I was with you till then.
Page 3 of
general
revenue summary.
Salmon color sheet.
Salmon color sheet.
If you go to the, if you go to that salmon sheet on page 3 of 4, it goes through that, that calculation, and there have been some small adjustments since the original amount came out. But there you can see.
I have a salmon sheet.
I have the other
one. It's here. That's the general revenue summary. Okay.
Well, that's going to go up. Of course, the base is going to go down.
Are you in a question?
Yeah, I
was waiting for that to be circulated. If you'd like, I can walk through here. At the top right-hand corner of page 3 of 4, and those of you who have your budget can look at the old one, and you'll see the corrected one coming. It's the amount that David referred to as the starting balance, the $11 million starting balance. That's how we ended 2009 with that amount in reserve. That adjustment factor is something that that David and my office do. That's to adjust for the fact that our spending is going up. Our goal in the end is to keep a balance of at least 5% in the bank, if not more. So that's to adjust for the erosion of our reserves because spending is going up, and we need to recognize that in calculating how much we want to keep in the bank. As you go down through there, you see commitments for multi-year fund. In the third line down, that's the 5%. You see in bold it says target fund balance of $6,470,460. Everybody see that? That's the 5% goal. The next line, multi-year funding, those are the commitments we've made that extend beyond this fiscal year. So there are a couple of items in this budget and prior budgets that made multi-year commitments. So those have to be accounted for and deducted because that's how we would pay for those, through reserves. Mid-year rollover adjustments, those are the amounts that we have applied this year, and I think that's one area where we've adjusted to get ourselves current on this page. Rollover use in the current budget, that 346,920, is what you saw on my other page. That's what we've taken out of the bank for rollover to put into this budget. The available rollover of 635,780, that's different than the 806 you saw on the prior page because the prior page shows the positive rollovers. There are some departments that actually have negative rollovers. They finished over their budget, and they owe us some money. So when we show this 635, that includes those negatives. The return to the general fund, the 109,765, again, those are Tyler's and voluntary givebacks of reserves to replenish our reserves. So the amounts available for this budget above the 5% was $2.74 million. We've applied the 692, and this is an adjustment from the original budget correction. We've applied 692,790. So that leaves 2,051,629 in excess of the 5%. So that's where our balances stand right now. And again, that's what gives us liquidity. That's the money that will be there if we ever settle things like road patrol negotiations and things like that for retros. But that's where we stand right now.
So to follow up, thank you. So when we talk about, you know, depleting our fund balance, we have $2 million to go before we're near the target. I mean, the target is, I mean, we don't ever get anywhere near zero fund balance. We're talking about getting down to the target. And in previous years, we've gone pretty far down there.
Yes.
But at this point, we're 2 million above that 5% target.
Yes.
Okay, and it's 5% of our total spending?
It's a net because some of the monies go to other funds, so you don't double count. actually 5% of total spending would be more.
Okay.
So we take out certain transfers.
Okay.
I would point out, though, that the one we talk about our narrowing of our financial margins, it's in the cash side. While our fund balance declined from about $750,000 between 2008 and 2009, our cash position declined by over $2 million. And we ended up the year in the general fund with $9.8 million. We need, to feel comfortable without having to race to the bank to borrow. We need $10 million in the general fund at any one time. So one measurement that you should be cautious about is the general fund balance should be equal to our cash balance at any one time. So I like to look at right now we need $10 million, and our fund balance is about $10 million, and it's in cash, so we're okay. If we went to target fund balance and our cash balance deteriorated to fund balance, we'd be borrowing money at certain times at the end of the year to meet recurring expenditures because the liquidity wouldn't be there to be comfortable.
Peter and then Will.
I'm not sure I understand a lot of these terms, and I'm actually having a hard time understanding what you're talking about. So I got a bunch of questions. When you say 5%, 5% of what? What's 5% of what? Which number is 5% of what other number?
It's a 5% of about $110 million.
Well, why 110? Because our spending is $75 million.
No, well, the gross spending. Because the county operates on paper. The property tax and the sales tax are the only things that come directly to the county that we can have some dependability on. When you're dealing with $65 million of federal and state pledges, which are unpredictable on when you receive them, you need to have liquidity because we spend, in most of our programs, you have to spend and prove that you spent the money before they reimburse. So you got to have, and so that causes some difficulties.
Okay, so now could you explain to me what the word target fund balance means? I don't understand that concept.
Well, it was put in to provide some stability so that there would not be a raid on the bank, so to speak. Put a floor with which you could not go below.
Well, that's got nothing to do with the target that we've always talked about.
The target fund balance is different than the target for a department, yes.
Yes, okay. So the target fund balance is the fund balance we want to have, is that right?
It's a minimum.
Okay. So, I don't quite understand then. If I compare $11 million to the target fund balance, it sounds like we have a huge amount of money.
You do have, according to the policy, you have capacity to use that. We would recommend that you don't consider that because we don't have every dollar in the fund balance. It's not cash.
Oh, I see. So is there something down here that indicates how much of that $11 million is in cash?
Well, not on the papers, but it was approximately $9.9 million.
So you have $3 million to spend.
Theoretically, yes. And we've been averaging about using a fund balance around $3 million a year. And the fund balance has been relatively stable. When you put fund balance dollar in, that means you have an unbalanced budget. You have more expenditures than revenues. Therefore, if you spend every dollar, your fund balance would go down. So we've been fairly successful in having some stability that we've managed to replace what we've put in there. The question is, what is that level that you feel comfortable with that we don't do harm? And we believe This year, there's been a dramatic reduction in the amount of fund balance that's being applied because it's showing up in our cash position, which means that we haven't recovered.
And the amount of the fund balance that's not in cash, is that IOUs from the state the state and the federal government?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Then Carol, then Brian.
Thank you. Just building on Peter's questions, David. First off, I really appreciate the conservative your dedication to keep us strong. And I'm just wondering, is that based on our own policy? Are the directives from the state or the general accounting principles? Is this about going into the bond market and having an attractive?
There's no statute that requires you to have a fund balance for county government. I mean,
we could take it down to zero.
And you would suffer dramatically in our borrowing cost. There are industry standards. The ideal is to have a 10% fund balance. Westchester County probably has a 10% fund balance. Saratoga County, but most counties don't. 5% was viewed as we thought was adequate. We would always be more comfortable with 10%, but the political realities of the type of services you have to provide and the uncertainties. But there's no requirement other than our fiscal policy put into 5%, and that's based upon what is considered reasonable.
Thank you.
Carol.
Yeah, so, and then between what's considered reasonable and what's considered minimal, at what point does that affect our borrowing?
Well, when they look at our financial statements, they take into account the fund balance, and they look at our cash balance, they compare the cash to the fund balance. And it rings the alarm bells if they see that your fund balance is all paper. You have all these outstanding. You have more assets, but you're not liquid, and so that's a measurement of weakness. So we always watch that very closely.
So at a cash balance of 5%, have what kind of bond rating? And then at a cash balance of 10%, you have the
They measure it more like what do they think that, and they ask the question. What do you need to get through 6 to 8 weeks of operations? And they always ask that question. And you say, well, it's $2 million of payroll every 2 weeks, $1 million for accounts payable every week. So you're looking at $10 million to get through 6 weeks. And then they say, well, you don't have $10 million. What are you going to do about it? How are you recovering? And the only way you can recover is raise – bring in more revenue or decrease expenditures. So we're at a threshold that we haven't increased our cash position, and it's very difficult because if you look at how much we are dependent upon New York State reimbursing us, and when they don't, every dollar is coming out of our pocket, but all expenditures or theirs, we're doing it for them. So it really kind of gets frustrating.
Brian.
Thanks. I'm trying to get this. 2009 certified or available was $1.6 million. Available for this year was $1.4 million. We were looking to spend that down roughly 40% for this budget if we're going to end up with 800 for next year. And we just had a little bit of that discussion, what happens when it gets to zero. And I guess I would just point out that if we keep going like that, we're going to find out fairly soon. But you know what I mean? I mean, it's going down quickly.
Yeah, and just to kind of keep this conversation going, remember this year, for 2011, for 2010, we held back our FMAP savings, the $1 million. We kept that as a hedge against things that we thought might happen this year. state delays, state cuts, all those kinds of things. We held it back for 2010. We're not doing that in 2011. 2011, that money has been applied to the budget. So we don't have that hedge against adverse events that may happen in 2011 that we had
that
in 2010.
What, 780 or something like
that? That was $1 million last year. This year, it's, we've put what we expect to get for 2011, which is 780. Correct. So we had $1 million in hedge in 2010 by not spending that FMAP money. For 2011, we've spent it. So we need to, you know, we need to be a lot more careful in what we do with our reserves because of that. We also have...
We're not aware of any more of that, right?
FMAP?
As of today?
It's done. No.
Okay.
No. And hopefully, because we got the estimate from Senator Schumer's office, that we didn't pull that number out of the sky. We got it from Schumer. Hopefully that number is an accurate estimate. And then, of course, we do still have, you know, the Road Patrol Union has access to arbitration. There are still 3 years that are unsettled in that contract. At some point, if that settles, this is really the source for the retroactive payment of that settlement as well. So, again, we have to be pretty cautious about how we look at this, at the use of reserves. We need a little bit of cushion in that account because we're... It's pretty clear some challenges lie ahead even for even with this budget in 2011.
Mike,
Dave, how much money, part of that fund balance, do we have to anticipate for the return of school and village taxes each year that has to be available?
Well, that's at any one time. We have on our books close to $5 million of return taxes, which we are obliged to pay to these other governments. So when people are assessed, when they come in and pay their delinquent taxes, that reimburses us for that cost of carrying that, but it represents the amount that we've paid out already. We have no provision in to cover that. There are some counties that add to the property tax levy because of that burden, because of the, it is a drain to pay off the towns for their unmet bills. And the school districts, in the school districts, you know, so that's another reason why there's such extraordinarily expensive penalties imposed on delinquent taxes and why we really have to enforce taxes to the letter of the law.
So this, our unusual tax system, which is basically left over from the old boards of supervisor, as far as the towns are concerned, we let them fulfill their warrants before we get our warrant fulfilled in the town and county taxes. So I guess that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
We have to expend that extra cash,
yeah,
along with the return later of the village and the school taxes that are unpaid.
Yeah, in a town, the town taxes are not a problem because it comes net of collections. So they settle up. They return to us the unpaids, but they return to us the excess over and above after they've met their warrant. So we're not actually paying out to them money at that point. And in the beginning of the year, during the first 4 months.
But we're not getting ours.
We're not getting ours. So we're operating on our budget with less money than you actually levy for county purposes because we had to pass that through to those other governments. It's the school districts that are the real problem because their payoff comes at a time when our cash starts getting very volatile.
So... even though we have $10 million, yeah, we have to have cash available to do this.
Yes.
So that doesn't mean we have $10 million that we can spend on something else or use for tax reduction or whatever.
Correct.
Did you say that number is $5
million? Well, the receivable. At any one time, we have $5 million on our as tax receivables. That represented money, return taxes to us that are in various stages of paying off.
Any other questions for Joe or David or anyone about rollover? Go ahead.
Could we get another row here at some point that is that talks about the surplus available, the target fund balance as a percentage of the budget, of the total budget? Whichever figure, whether it's the surplus or the total. I understand correctly that the final line here is not the amount of the fund that will be in the bank. It's how much we want to have. I know Martha was here at the beginning of this conversation, but just to make sure I understand it after this discussion, how much above the minimum we're talking about keeping in our surplus. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so if you're comparing dollar figures over the last 5 years that we have in that fund, it's meaningless without understanding the percentage of the budget that is, I think. I'm looking at for some percentage of either of the total, that the total is of the budget that we've kept, or that the surplus is.
But that number has gone down. That number has gone down. The budget has increased. So
yes.
So you have less money than you had 5 years ago.
Yes.
But for all those years, I mean, you'd like us to do that ratio for all the years.
Not just in dollars, but in percentage would be helpful at some point.
Yep.
The percentage, it's a good request. The percentage is not going to make me feel any better. I know we have less money. Go ahead, Peter.
I just learned a new fact that I didn't understand. But this business about the taxes being paid off to the other governments, is that an additional factor that has been factored into this target fund balance? Has that been taken into account?
No.
So, but we know it's going to happen, right? We know this.
We know that, yes. I mean, any one time, there are 3,000 tax parcels that are delinquent at any one time. And it's been very consistent, 3,000 out of 33,000.
But when you say that this 5% number
doesn't have any relationship whatsoever to that factor. And that's one of the things that, you know, when you levy taxes, you have a $38 million tax levy. We don't receive $38 million from that. We levy it, but not everybody pays their taxes. We have probably 98% collection, but we don't get 98% in the calendar year because we have 3,000 people who consistently, don't pay their taxes for one reason or another. And every year that mix of 3,000 is different.
Yeah,
when we had the Lakeside Nursing Home, if you remember, that was a gargantuan tax receivable that we cleared off our books that reduced our tax receivables by over $1 million.
Right.
But every year, for example, the school taxes for that property were like $150,000 that we didn't have $150,000 dedicated to pay the school district for those taxes. So that's something we don't take into account because it just
why not?
Because our collection has been superior. We probably have one of the highest collection rates. When they look at our balance sheet, they look at the measurement of our unpaid taxes relationship to other entities, and ours are fairly stable because the receivable goes up. It should go up every year because taxes are going up every year. So if you have the same number of people paying, not paying, then it goes up proportionally from year to year. Sometimes you can have wild swings. But because ours have been relatively stable and manageable, and it hasn't deteriorated our cash position noticeably, we haven't had to develop a policy to consider how do you finance the unpaids.
Okay, but isn't there some kind of a cash flow problem in that problem?
There would be a cash flow problem if we had a known volatility in that, but it's about the same area.
Oh, I see, because they pay back last year's. I understand.
But some places, when you have tremendous volatility in their operations because of the unpaid taxes, and we've been very fortunate.
Okay. We get them a year late or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe, we've had a half-hour discussion, and some of us have lost track of the numbers. Just in summary, we have approximately $807,000 in remaining rollover unspent on that sheet. We've allocated
that money from? Where's that number, Frank? Which sheet do you
have? It's on Joe's sheet.
You know the sheets? There was
the
a packet
sheet,
with a
one
paper
of one. Okay. Written that way.
It says rollover summary on the top, Peter.
Okay. Oh, yeah, right.
You got
okay.
it?
Yeah.
Okay. On the flip side of that page, Peter, go to the column marked recommended.
Yeah.
Okay. You see the total 346,920?
Yeah.
That ties in with the salmon sheet rollover used in current budget. That's the county administrator's, if I understood what he said before, allocation as to what he's plugged in to use for 2011. And I want to go down to the bottom of that sheet, Joe. Starting with, just pick one, the number 9 capital.
Yes.
That 589,286, that money is coming from where?
Our fund balances.
Show me where that is on is that the flip side of
page 3.
Of salmon page 3? Can you identify what column it's in?
It's third from the bottom, less general fund, non-target funding. It's $100,000 less, and that's because we're also going to use $100,000 from the DM fund to cover the highway.
I got it. 489,286. Got it. Okay. In a word, how much money have we got that you feel comfortable letting us know that's available to apply to other expenditures in this budget?
I've given you that recommendation in this document. And I use 5 words, 6 words for that.
Just for clarification. You can't say it enough, Joe. Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
Anyone else? Mike?
Jim, I don't know where you want to go at this point. Are we just want to talk about the rollover and then talk about some of the other revenues? Do we want to make proposals? Or what would you like to
have? I don't have a goal where we want to go. I wanted to let all of you ask the questions that you wanted to ask, and if someone had some suggestions, we were ready to listen to them. Mike, you're still up. Go ahead.
Rollover has not been my favorite thing here for a number of years, and because what it does is take the fund balance that we've just been talking about, and it is a part of the fund balance, and it earmarks it for spending. And I know all the reasons, and I know all the goodwill that the departments and department heads have with respect to rollover, and I don't criticize them in the least for this. And they work hard to try to see if there's some rollover left. But these are particularly tough times, and I think that we need to look at this in a different vein this year. And I think that we should move some of that money where it could help with taxes and maybe some of the other spending that I expect will be requested here. Some of it ought to be placed, in my view, where it could be used for some of the projects or purchases that the departments are asking for. I had floated a possible use of the rollover funds in a motion that's on the agenda sheet today. And although I'm not wedded to those figures, I do think it's an important to open a discussion here about the use of the rollover. And I would make the motion to remove all the rollover funds available for use in 2011-2012, that's that $806,000 figure, to transfer $400,000 to the contingent fund, and the remainder, $406,676, to the general fund to be applied to reduce the tax levy.
Is there a second?
Can you just repeat that, please?
Frank, your second. Mm-hmm. I believe if you look at the sheet of the agenda, am I correct, Mike?
Yeah, it's at the top.
It's at the top. It's letter A, motion by Mike Lane, 806, transfer $400K to contingent, $406 to the general fund. Someone else had their hand up, a couple people. I don't know if you were going to make motions, but Dooley, go ahead.
Well, are we limited to discussing this now? What I wanted to do was take note of the fact that Joe had handed out an extract from our fiscal policy.
Yes.
And it wasn't clear to me whether all legislators had the same understanding of what our rollover policy was originally intended to be and if it has morphed at all into and what it has morphed. I was concerned that we all have to be on the same page about what rollover is. And I think we need to do that anyway as we consider Mike's motion. But I didn't know whether Joe intended to address it. You handed out a page. I didn't know if you were going to say anything about it.
I hadn't planned to.
Not if you could help.
Yeah, if I could help.
Everyone has access to it. And
well, I assume that everybody knows that a major part of the theory behind rollover was so that departments wouldn't feel a need to use the money in their budget or lose it. We thought it would be more efficient and so forth for them to keep it for future needs or possible one-time use during the appropriate year. I think that was the genesis of the thinking.
Okay. Any other discussion I would like centered toward Mike's motion?
So I would oppose Mike's motion.
Well, you get a chance to do that at some point. Kathy, you are next, and then Peter.
My question had to do with getting Dooley to explain, if possible, how she believes that our current understanding, or perhaps some legislators' current understanding, of rollover and its potential uses differs from what was in the policy.
Well, I don't find the policy particularly easy to read. But my understanding is that each year, in fact, earlier this year, each program committee was presented with rollover information about the departments that their committee was responsible for looking at. And in some committees, some rollover requests were supported and some weren't, but I'm not sure that what the committees recommended was reflected in what the county administrator has proposed or not, because I don't remember. I'm not on all the committees. In any event, the idea of taking rollover from departments, to the best of my recollection, really hasn't happened historically until very recent years. I think Joe did some of that last year, and I don't think we objected, but I think we understood it was a temporary something, and I'm not sure where we are in our thinking at this point. I don't know if that's helpful or not, Kathy.
Can I follow that up?
Absolutely.
I appreciate that bit of history and clarification. It's actually the crux of the matter for me, because I'm as desperate as anybody sitting around this table to try and figure out a solution. And I've also been someone who felt that the spirit of sacrifice and collaboration that was represented by rollover was one that was useful to us in county government. However, because we're so desperate this year, I'm willing to listen to this discussion with an open mind, understanding in my heart of hearts, however, that a violation of policy for us to willfully change a policy in midstream is against my most fervent principles. So it's a measure for me of just how desperate we are that I would even be listening to this kind of a discussion with an open mind.
I had Peter, Pat, and then Martha. And hopefully this is about the resolution?
It sure is.
Okay.
And I'm a little disturbed that we're not considering the resolution. But there was an appeal made right after Mike made his resolution and it was seconded that certainly applied to me. Namely, I don't like the idea of voting on this resolution without knowing what our policy is. And then there was some back and forth about what our policy is. But I would like to have an authoritative explanation in as simple terms as possible for those of us who are new here and maybe some of us who are old as to exactly what our current rollover policy is so that we can sensibly consider what Mike has proposed.
Parliamentarily, how would I do that?
Parliamentarily, you could ask if there was a staff member who could describe simply what our rollover policy is.
Yeah, well, I could do that, but, you know, I don't want to get beat up for doing that either. So is there someone in the staff who wants to? Mike, you had your hand?
I have no problem if you want to have the administrator answer that question.
Okay, would the seconder agree to that?
That's okay. Just part of the discussion.
All right. You know, I'm learning. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I'll try, and I'll try to be concise. If a department finishes the year in the black, it's earned a surplus through either expenditures that were less than budgeted or revenues that came in higher than budget, then that department has an opportunity to ask for that money to be rededicated back to that department for future use. It doesn't mean it's a given, it's not an entitlement, but they have an opportunity to ask the legislature if they can rededicate that money to a departmental purpose in the future. And that's, as you recall, earlier this year, late spring, early summer, they came to you and proposed either the use of some money this year and or some of the money for next year. And the legislature at that time approved a certain amount of spending for 2010 and said, we understand what you'd like to do for 2011, and we'll expect to see that when the budget comes around. So that's basically the way the policy works. Everything is subject to legislative approval. Again, it's not an automatic rollover into the next year's budget. It's subject to your approval. And the premise behind the entire policy, Dooley put it well, is to encourage department heads to save money over the course of the year wherever they can, confident in the understanding that if they do that, they might have a chance of putting that money to use in the future. And also to avoid the use it or lose it philosophy. Man, I got a dollar that just dropped out of the sky. I'm going to spend it before the year closes. So to discourage that kind of behavior, to be able to plan ahead. And that's really the premise behind the policy.
Okay, may I ask a clarifying question about that, simply that? My understanding of what you said is that the rollover fund stays in the fund balance, but it's sequestered for the problem for the department that rolled it over. But the department that rolled it over can't use it without getting authorization from the legislature. And I suppose it's for some sorts of things that generally get approval. Is that more or less?
Very well put.
Okay.
Yes.
Could I speak to Mike's motion now, now knowing what I'm talking about, or shall I wait?
Well, let me ask this. I had Pat and Martha. Are you talking, Pat, are you talking about the rollover policy, or are you speaking to the motion? Martha, are you speaking
on the motion.
Okay, sure. Peter, go ahead.
Okay, well, my initial impulse is to absolutely oppose Mike's motion. I think that it would be appropriate in a situation where we felt that we had a real, very serious problem this year that's going to go away. I don't know what, like one of our buildings burned down and we had to rebuild it or something like that. It would be appropriate to suspend the policy for that reason. But I don't see this year as a particularly unusual year. It's a particularly bad year, but I have the feeling that particularly bad years are the usual. And I think that the policy as you've outlined it, is basically a good one. I think I've, you know, lived with in departments at Cornell where people spent money idly because they had it left over and they were going to lose it if they didn't spend it. And I always thought that was a bad idea. So what you described to me sounds very sensible, and I would be opposed to changing that at this particular time.
Pat.
I would like to ask if someone can describe for me what the impact of this proposal would do to the proposed budget.
If I understand it accurately, Mike, I'll try to do this. If I understand it accurately, it would take $400,000 of the rollover money, and it would use that money to support an increase in our contingency expenditure budget. So you'd raise our contingency budget by $400,000, and you'd pay for that increase by the use of these one-time dollars. So that's step one. So that would really have no effect on our property tax levy. Spending more money, you're getting that money from this one-time source. The second part of the motion is to take the remaining $406,000 and really use it as property tax relief. And to the extent that that were to happen, that would reduce the levy by approximately 1.1%.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I understood that. I will say just in general that I do concur with Kathy's comments about policy, and I do understand, I think, the policy and in general support it, but I do think that this is an unusual situation.
I have Martha Loveland Dooley.
I think Peter put it well about this is a usual situation. I don't think, and this would really be one-time money, and I don't think it solves our problem in any way, and it creates other problems. So I'll oppose this motion. I think it really would create a lot of problems for our departments. A lot of these dollars are, for example, for mismatched grant years where you get a grant and you don't spend all of it in the current year and it sort of rolls into the next year. So I don't know what that would mean. That, you know, then does that mean that grant money goes away? I mean, I don't even understand how we could do that. I would, however, I learned...
Can you respond to that part?
No, let her finish.
I would, however, ask Joe to talk about something that I just understood as of today. Last year we had, and now I remember that it was a one-year modification to this policy, that if a position were open in your department for a period of time, that salary recovery did not accrue to your rollover, but that the recovered salary went to the general fund. And I was assuming that was just continuing, and you pointed out, no, that was just for 2009. So we aren't right now counting it that way for 2010, and I would like that to remain in place. So it's a different motion than Mike's, but I bring it up at this point because I think it's something we should talk about. Not sure if tonight's the right time, but right. I want to put that out there.
I had Leslin and Dooley, Mike. Was there somebody over here who had the hand up I didn't recognize? Okay. After Mike, I'll put you in. All right. Go ahead, Leslin.
Mike wanted to respond. I don't
all right.
Think I remember.
I just wanted to say
I yield to him to respond.
Martha's comment about the possibility of mismatched grants, for example. By putting the $400,000 into contingency, that money is still available for something like that if the legislature reviewed it and had a request to expend those monies for that kind of a situation.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. Peter, thank you for your clarity in explaining this. One of the things that I appreciate about our departments and this policy is that year in and year out, we go to our departments and we've asked, you know, what can you contribute back? And they have been willing to give up a certain amount of their rollover back to us with the foresight and planning for what they may need. A computer is going to go up next year or something else, and so they save a little bit of money. So I would not be in favor of the motion as you propose, Mike. I would say that if we really want to change this policy, then, and I've been saying this, then we need to sit down when we do all of our policy revisions and include this at that time, not now.
I have Dooley, and then I have Mike, and then I have Brian.
Pat, you asked earlier what the impact of the proposal would be, and the response you got was the budgetary impact, which was correct. But I can't help but think of the impact on the department's attitude toward budgeting and planning in general, right, trying to look ahead several years. And that's what I think would be hurt a lot by Mike's proposal. With respect to the policy, which we have sitting on our desks from Joe, there on page 14 of 15, where reappropriation in particular is discussed, there is a list of the categories of where the funds may have come from that departments have. And I think there it refers to positions that remain vacant for longer than 6 months. So, Martha, I wasn't sure whether you were suggesting it should apply to positions vacant for a month or a position that a department is trying to fill, or whether you were thinking the 6 month was still the cutoff.
I don't need to inject into this discussion of this motion. It's not the same motion. So I think we can talk about the details later. So I just wanted to bring that up as something we should talk about.
Can't you just clarify what it was you meant?
I think I would like to... I would like to hear from Joe what our policy was in 2009 and then think about, is that exactly what I would want to do? So I don't have the exact answer right now because I can't remember exactly how we did it.
Yeah. We're getting off here. Do you want to 25 yes. words or less?
Yes.
Okay.
In 2009, any savings that resulted from holding a position vacant, any personnel-related savings, were excluded from the rollover calculation and instead were directed to the general fund balance. Just went right to our bottom line. That was the policy in 2009. It was a one-year alteration of this policy. So what Martha's saying is this year there isn't such a rule in place that would govern rollover occurring right now for future years.
I don't understand. Did the position have to be vacant for a period?
Not two at a time, please.
No. Any savings that resulted from on the personnel side would be basically reserved for the general fund. They couldn't submit that savings for rollover for the future year. It came right to the general fund balance.
So somebody left a position suddenly. They want to fill the position, but the money not spent during the period of time that they're trying to hire someone, that's what you're talking
That's
about.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mike.
I guess I just wanted to make these points. So one is that people are hurting out there in the community. We just heard that folks living on Social Security, trying to figure out how to pay their taxes on Social Security, are having no COLA increase again next year. We're looking at an administrator's budget with a 5% tax rate increase. Most municipalities that I've been reading about are talking in the 3% range. If we don't find some way to hold this tax rate, especially when the motions start coming here to start adding some of these things that are out there and tugging at all of our heartstrings, we're going to be at such a level that it's going to be a real burden on the people without jobs, the people without increases in their pay. And I think we need to figure out where we can come up with some money to hold down the taxes here. And I think this is $800,000 in money that we could access. It belongs to the board. It belongs to the people of Tompkins County. And yes, in the past we've allowed the departments to plan for it, but I think it's a year we need to, we're trying to protect the people of our counties, and a year we need to use some of that.
I have Brian, Carol, Martha, Will.
Thanks. I completely understand why Mike would bring such a motion like this. And yes, I agree with you, Mike. We're going to have to start showing some fiscal restraint, probably starting right now, because I'm real afraid of next year. But anyways, we're not dealing with it next year, it's right now. My question is, for his proposal for rollover, I'm assuming it's about 50% that's being split. That 50% applies back to each of the departments, because or would apply back to the departments as their individual rollovers. Otherwise, we're defeating the purpose of them trying to save money. You know.
Yeah, this would actually take all of the available rollover. Half of it would go to increase our contingency account. The other half would go for property tax relief, if I understand it right. So the entire $100,000 that's currently available would drop to zero. So that would affect any department that currently has, for the lack of a better word, a rollover balance. That would all be erased.
Okay. So I guess my question's a little more important then. Where is their incentive to remain in the black if they're saving money just to have it taken right away from them?
Is that a question to me?
To be determined, I guess.
Mike, I have you.
If I could respond simply, I'm not aware of any other municipality anywhere that has a policy like our rollover policy. A few years ago, I tried to find one that did. Maybe there are some out there. I'm not aware of it. What do all the other municipalities do? They carefully watch over spending, and they stop through administration spending controls. They simply don't let people do runaway spending at the end of the year.
I had a list. Can I follow the list? I'm sorry, Mike. I probably shouldn't have gone out of order.
Jim, why don't you follow the list?
Yeah, I will follow the list. And if you want to nominate a new chair of the committee, someone please do it. Because I actually want to leave. No. Carol, Martha, Will, Wedlin, Mike, Nate.
Okay. Mike, I appreciate your attempt to think outside of the box in terms of, you know, the way we have been doing things in the last few years. But I can't support it in this case. I don't want us all collectively and individually to abandon attempts to think outside of the box, and I've been darkening the doors and the phones of Joe and some of our department heads with some of my own attempts to get us to think outside of the box. So I don't want to discourage you from doing that, but I do see the value of this one. I do think that it fosters an attitude of cooperation between us and our department heads, and I would not like to see us go to the system of heavy hand at the end of the year. So I can't support this particular motion. I'd like to see us decide about these things on a case-by-case basis according to Joe's budget and our resolutions that we've got coming up.
Thank you. There are people that I've run into have thought we should be in a box, but go ahead, Mike.
I really, for the public, I really hope nobody believes this is about runaway spending, that this is about wasteful spending, that this is about, you know, any of that. This is, number one, this is not reducing county spending. This is not being disciplined about the spending in the budget. That would be other kinds of motions. This is just about taking savings that have been accrued by careful planning and eliminating that, eliminating those savings. It's simply not a tax relief, except, you know, as a one-time sort of gimmick, really, to reduce the tax levy by part of this. It doesn't help us next year. I mean, you know, the spending is still there that then would lead to a higher burden next year. So and as far as is this an unusual year, Mike, you've always hated this policy. You've fought against it every year. Does that mean that every year is an unusual year? I think that constitutes you don't like the policy. So it's not that it's a especially needed this year. So I really think that this is something that we've spoken about many times.
May I ask that please speak to the yes or no on the resolution, and let's not try to guess what each other is thinking. That's a terrible idea, and okay. We could never do it. Will, Leslie, and Mike, Nate?
Well, quickly, law of unintended consequences. I think if we were to vote for Mike's proposal, we will rue it pretty quickly because we would see the impact on the departments. If we're going to change the policy, I think we need to be doing it at the beginning of the fiscal year, change the policy. I will speak pretty strongly against it at that time, with the possible exception of what Martha is proposing based on maybe reviving Joe's very specific use. But I think it's, you know, the fact, Mike, you mentioned that we're the only governmental unit or locality that's used this. When I came onto the county and discovered that, I said, wow, this is really smart. I've worked in so many situations where I saw the phenomena of people trying to frantically use dollars before they disappeared. And it wasn't always insane, but there were a lot of purchases that could have maybe been deferred but were made quickly because they realized it was going to go away. This has worked wonderfully, and I hope it remains.
Leslie.
So if my memory serves me correctly, you know, for the past few years, I'm looking at the number that we have now, and I think we've had less and less rollover, which suggests to me that our departments are, money isn't there, and people are really spending their money wisely to the things that they need, especially at the mid-year time, so that we don't come to this budget time and then they're asking for this enormous amount of money that we cannot provide. And I appreciate that. Mike, I appreciate the thought behind this. And I strongly believe, because here's the Pollyanna side of me, that if our county administrator sat with our department heads and say, it's a little rough out there, what more can you give, that some of them might be willing to say, here's some more because I have this budgeted for and this budgeted for, and here's some more, as opposed to what feels more like us just going in there and going against our very policy. We have to approve those things when they come to us. We don't have to. And that money can sit there or you know, however. But I think that there could be more conversation with our department heads who work very hard to save some of this money, you know, despite all the things that might happen, it might be a grant or it might be unfilled positions and so on and so forth, to say, what can we all do? And I think people are doing a lot. So I don't want to ruin that sort of camaraderie that we have by just coming at this point and saying, let's just take it.
I have, Mike, do you want to respond?
Just very quickly to say this is no gimmick that I propose. This is a what we're talking about here, and I'll tell the folks at home, if that's what we're talking to, I'm glad to do that, that this is a spending program. It is county taxpayer money and sales tax money and all of our revenue money that's being taken and being allowed to be spent. And I'm saying we should put the brakes on it.
Nate.
I was just going to say that Mike, I may support this when we get towards the end of the budget process. I'm not there yet. I'm afraid that if we pass something like this, then we'll get in the mentality that we have an extra $400,000 to spend, but I want to leave it open. And there's a very good chance that I might support a resolution like this in the next few meetings.
Can I just say,
as I started out, I said I really wanted to have this discussion.
Oh, yes,
and that's
you did.
Why I okay. brought it forward and asked whether I'm trying to feel whether we should do it. I'm glad to talk about it later, too.
Yeah, you've certainly captured that. I mean, it's a big item. I mean, you know, it's
it
one we haven't had, and I think it's necessary. Oh, Frank.
Oh, Jim, I would have challenged the ruling of the chair if you really? Didn't want to be chair. Sure.
Oh, no. That,
oh, yeah.
The money is so good.
Let's take a vote. Everybody want the money is so good. Nate just left, right? Mike, I was going to suggest something along the lines that Nate was suggesting. It's early in the process. $800,000 is a lot of money. Some of us were on the board when this policy was instituted and actually were not in favor of it. We used to use the contingency fund as, if you want to call it rollover, as the major item. If a department felt that a program or an idea was worthwhile, they'd bring it forward. And if you got votes in committee and it went to budget the way it's used now, it would come to this full board for discussion. I have to admit, most of the departments are pretty frugal about the way they use the rollover. They really are. This is not a usual year. Maybe we're scrambling. I see a whole gallery of individuals sitting out there worried about whether the request that they've made is going to make it or not at some point in the next five or six sessions. I would be willing to either withdraw the motion.
Frank, if you're my seconder, and if in listening to some of the discussion here, if folks would like to lay it on the table, I'm open to that.
Because I would love to have this discussion after we massage those numbers and Kevin works his magic on that screen to get the levy down around 3%. Then we can think about bringing it back. Would you? That sounds okay to you?
Yeah, I think somebody would need to move that.
I would move to postpone action on this motion.
Excuse me.
Can I do that?
No.
No. Can you withdraw or move to table?
Someone else can.
So you have to call on someone, and someone might make
Well,
that
why would I have to call on someone? Everyone just talks when they want to. All you get to do is raise your hand.
I still have the floor?
Yeah, you do.
So may I move to withdraw this?
I would not withdraw it. I would
move to postpone.
I would table.
Move to table.
Postpone.
How about if we move to table indefinitely? No. All right. I'll move to table indefinitely.
Is there a second? Dave, discussion. Can you? There discussion.
No discussion for a table.
Thank you.
Can I have a question?
Write it to me.
Well, you can decide whether this is a point of information or not. I'm not. I don't know if I'm understanding correctly how that would affect. If we withdrew it, if we voted on it later, how does that affect the rollover used in the current budget?
Doesn't affect it at all.
Okay.
Peter?
I was just going to answer her question. The motion to table is not debatable. What it means is the body goes on to something else. At any time in the future, somebody can move to take it from the table. Okay. It requires a majority vote to do either. So that's that, and we're not supposed to talk about it. We're supposed to just vote.
I think we're ready to vote. All in favor of tabling the motion, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed? 1. Passes 12 to 1.
Dooley was in favor. I knew she was.
13. You had your hand up. Go ahead.
Thank you. As part of the discussion, I thought an interesting point was brought up, and that was the amount of the current rollover that has to do with mismatched fund years. I'd be very interested, if this discussion came up again, in finding out roughly how much that is, because it's possible that that amount the legislature might decide to treat differently.
Okay, good comment.
Martha? I hope somebody takes that under advisement.
Okay, we will do that. Martha?
Is this a time to bring up the question about personnel savings with respect to rollover and perhaps make
right
a motion?
Now we're in limbo land. We went, Mike was first, and You know, it's we haven't done anything besides that. Go ahead.
Well, let me, if I can ask Joe, was I the only one in the dark about this? And did everybody else think that we'd gone back to the old policy on personnel?
What difference does it make?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm especially wanting to know what the department heads were, if you have a sense of whether the department heads were thinking that personnel savings would accrue to their rollover this year. I mean, because there's a difference between, as Dooley said, that the, you know, in the period where you're trying to hire somebody, you've saved a month or two, and a time when a department head deliberately says, well, I'm going to defer hiring that person, and I expect then I'll get such and such in rollover. And use. Do you have a sense of how the department heads have been
seeing it? There's
several
here. I think they've seen it as at risk. They understand that it was only for 1 year, but they also understand that the past is predictive and that that might carry over to future years. So I think they knew it was at risk, and we were going to see how this year ended to figure out how we might approach that question for the next round of rollover. And
we're back to a general discussion, Brian.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're generally talking about the same topic, though.
Right.
Joe, in the material you just handed out, and I was aware of that policy, except down towards the end of the first column, you have two items that are paying for staff.
Oh. Okay.
Right?
But it's two different issues, Brian. One is source of rollover. And historically, if there have been savings in a department, regardless of where it came from, in certain rules, that was put into the rollover pool. In 2009, we made an exception because we saw some bad things happening. Mm-hmm. And we said, if you save money in the personnel area, because I had some control over personnel, that money couldn't go into the rollover pool. That money was going to go first to the general fund. You couldn't use it.
Right.
That was the carve-out in that 1 year. So that's the source of rollover.
Okay. So
the use of rollover is different. The use of rollover is what I think you're talking about on the 2011 budget. How did we use it? And there, again, when I summarized it earlier, I said to the extent that we possibly could, we've used this one-time money for one-time items. And that was the guiding principle. There are some places where, you're right, we bent the rules a bit. And we're supporting some things, relatively small, you could look at as recurring expenses, and we're using one-time rollover money to do it. That's the exception, not the rule.
Julie.
Well, I am looking at page 2 of what you handed out today, which is the list of one-time and rollover OTR items. And as my eye goes down that list, about half of them seem like they're the kind of things that would continue. They may not have been asked for more than one time, but they're things that happen every year. So I think that this is a discouraging list that we're using so much. We're calling it one time, but they're really continuing items. Am I reading this wrong?
Well, I think these are things where you could turn the spigot off if you needed to. And you can see in here, I know there are some that you're looking at, Dooley, like building maintenance, maybe the fifth one down in facilities. You know, there we have to maintain the buildings, and I would say that's probably a recurring item that we're using one-time rollover money to support. However, the next one down, energy service contracts. We do that to be able to monitor the energy performance contract. We can turn that spigot off. We can stop doing that. The Shaw study, the next one down, it's a one-time event. So it's a mixed bag, but I tried to stay to that one-time principle. And again, can you turn the spigot off or not? And I think in most cases you can.
Well, the COFA ones seem like they're continuing to me. That I won't go. I won't debate
Fine.
This, but
okay.
I get about half of them.
I have Frank, and then I have Martha. And if the rollover discussion
personnel, it's the personnel. The discussion about how to handle the... Before we had the rollover policy, Departments were permitted to keep the unspent funds, if you will, that accumulated in the personnel line. And some of us, and a name some of you will remember, a fellow named Peter Meskel and I were on the board at the same time and met with Anita Fitzpatrick to review something in excess of $2 to $3 million that was sitting there because of unspent monies in the personnel line. And that's why we were concerned about how it was being used, because it became available to be used without the scrutiny of the individual program committees. And one of the negotiating items, if you will, that led to rollover was that we would permit some of the rollover and write that as a policy to get away from having to keep such a close eye on the unspent personnel monies. My understanding now is that we've tried to make the departments whole by replenishing some of the monies when someone leaves or if there's illness or whatever, so that they don't have to scurry around looking for how do I cover this out of my operating budget. And that's true, isn't it?
Yes.
Martha, I was under the impression, as I think you are or were, that this that this was not a one-year arrangement, that this was something that we hadn't changed we hadn't changed back or gone back to the old way, and it was something that we were still continuing to do. So I'm in the same category you are. I kind of thought that we were continuing this.
Martha?
So I don't know if it's the perfect time, but we're talking about it. I will make a motion that personnel savings due to personal savings due to, you know, somebody leaving a department, that those savings go to the general fund and not become part of a department's rollover. And that would continue, indefinitely, that is not just a one-year policy.
Second. Leslie.
I am very interested in finding out the language that we did in 2009, as I'm not sure if it's something that ended. I don't know what the language is. I remember it, but I don't know what the language is. And if we hadn't changed it, then it just needs to. No. We just need to keep it going.
What? Someone else had their hand up. Nate, do you have to hand up? You said no. Martha.
To answer that question, Julie, and
Carol.
When Joe mentioned this today, then I went, aha, yes, it was a resolution that we passed, and it did say just for 2009. So, and Frank, did he second that?
Yes, I seconded your motion.
I think he did. I had Dooley, Carol, Mike. Go ahead.
Well, first, I was going to ask if staff could just look up exactly what the wording was last year. But my comment on this is that, and I may move to amend what you just said, absent a general review of our fiscal policy, I would be glad to support your motion for this coming for 1 year, but I would rather not make a single change to the fiscal policy without looking at the whole context.
Someone else had a hand up. Carol, and then Mike.
I have a question about where this fits into the Section 5.06 policy that was handed out. Was that inclusive of this portion of the rollover?
While someone is looking,
that up, I also, because I'm going where Dooley is, I'd be in favor of it. I'd like to know the answer, but I think I'm in favor of that for the rest of this year and the upcoming fiscal year, but not into the unforeseeable future without doing a more concerted look at the policy.
Mike, and then...
I, too, was under the impression this was still going on, and I thank Martha for this motion. I just want to make sure we've got the wording right. Cover all the things that we're doing now, or had been doing in 09, I guess I should say.
Kathy, I was the 09. Go ahead.
Resolve further that the Tompkins County Legislature hereby temporarily amends the county's rollover policy for the 2009 fiscal year by directing that personnel-related savings generated by county departments that would otherwise be preserved for departmental rollover proposed instead be dedicated for general county deficit avoidance purposes as deemed necessary and appropriate by the Director of Finance. This amendment to the county's rollover policy shall sunset at the end of the county's 2009 fiscal year.
Thank you.
That sounds good.
Thank you.
Kathy, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Thank you. I wasn't under any illusion that this was going on for this year, but the question that I have is, and it may sound basic, but I would like for us to go on the record if we're considering this. What would be our reasoning? What would be our purpose? And how would we justify doing this? Even for a one-time doing it for this year, just because it's helpful for the record for us to have a notion of why we impose these changes, even if they're for the short term. So I'd be interested in hearing what the thinking is behind that suggestion.
I have no one else. Martha, go ahead.
Well, my thinking is that if a that when we vote on a budget and we vote on, you know, 11 people in the planning department or whatever it is, and that's our intention, and if one person leaves mid-year, I think it should be up to the department to either replace the person because they need the work done or not to replace the person because they find they can do without that staff person, but not to say defer the hire because they think they could save 6 months of roll 6 months of salary in fringe and then have the rollover. So I really it feels to me in a different category as far as the decisions made, and I mean if we and obviously personnel is a very big part of our budget, so I think it really does tighten up the rollover policy in a useful way, and you know preserves the structure of a department because it says this is, you know, these are the positions we, you know, that we voted that you would have in your department, and then those salaries are covered. But if you don't have somebody in that slot, then you don't get a windfall, basically, within your department.
Thank you.
Loveland, Will, Peter.
No, it was Will first.
Thank you. Will?
So it makes sense to me. I have to admit, though, that I've never talked with a department head, and I imagine there may be some other view of this. And so I guess I would be inclined to support... as Dooley suggested, a continuation for this year, perhaps for next. But I really would like to see whether there is a perverse effect that might not be obvious that we could be informed from the department heads.
Liveland, then we're going to go over to this side of the room.
So I appreciate the people with a really good memory. I cannot remember why we did that and what was the process that got us to that resolution. Did it come out of budget? Was there a big discussion? How did we get to that in 2009? I just don't remember.
This resolution was adopted in August of 2009, and I'll read you the title. It says, Addressing Tompkins County's 2009 Budget Challenges Through a Temporary Amendment to the County's Rollover Policy for Fiscal Year 2009, Policy Guidance to the County Administrator and Authorization of Budget Transfers Recommended by the Director of Finance. I can read a couple.
Okay, no, that's fine. So it seems like this happened before we even got into our budget deliberations, right, which would have given folks time to participate in the discussion, especially department heads or a county administrator and others. Because it just feels a little weird to me right now to just do it. So I was just trying to understand the process.
Let me just say something. That my sense is that this is going to take a resolution, a resolution of the whole legislature, and maybe it should come out of a committee before we do something like this.
You're where I'm thinking, Jim. Thank you.
Hold on. I have Peter and Pat.
Well, I don't quite know what to do because I got this moment where I can try to get this off the table, but of course I can't explain why. But you did just inform us that we can't really pass anything here. So well, the idea is alive. We could think about it and vote on and bring it up at a legislative meeting where we can vote on it. So I would move to call a question.
What's the question?
You can't do that because you just...
Oh, all right. Well then, I don't know. Frank did it last time. I would move to postpone it or whatever you want
to
do.
Committee.
Yeah, how about sending it to the Budget and Capital
Committee? Or move to send it to the
Budget and Capital Committee.
This is it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, well, yeah, I understand that, but, you know, it's a motion as opposed to a resolution, right?
How about if we do it?
How about referring it to the Budget Committee?
For a second.
Okay.
This is the but if it helps, I'd be happy to amend my motion to be just for calendar 2010, to be revisited, you know, for 2011. So we do this, you know, since we're in the middle of the conversation.
Okay,
do it now, but then
are you changing from what we did in 2009?
No, I want to do what we did in 2009
for calendar year
for calendar 2010. Right.
Look, I don't know where we
I think
are.
I still have the floor.
You do?
Great. Yeah, I think so. Then
all right, well,
doesn't ahead. Sound like referring it out is going to work, so I want to speak against it. You know, it sounded okay when I heard it the first time, but then when I heard the logic in it, I didn't like it at all, because here I'm told that our departments have been cut to the bone and that everyone is working flat out all the time. And the notion that in a situation like that someone is going to let a line go unfilled for a length of time and make everyone work even harder so that they can get a computer or something like that sounds unreasonable to me. And if you don't fill a position for a while, then everybody in the department has to work a little bit harder, and there are, I don't see anything wrong with letting there be a small reward that comes with that by getting it. So for that reason, I'm against the motion. I changed my mind after hearing the explanation for it.
Nate?
I was just looking up the press release that Marcia sent for this in August of last year. And actually, we may not remember it because it was like it came as a bundle with a bunch of other proposals. So it was a flexible freeze on hiring with the only the most essential positions
Thank
filled,
you.
A flexible freeze on equipment purchases
Thank
greater
you.
Than $2,000, and then a one-year suspension of the county's rollover policy that would allocate departmental personnel-related savings generated and blah, blah, blah. You know,
Thank
that
you.
Sort of. So that might help. So, and I think that also made it even more of a savings for us, because we were saying that basically we would freeze hiring. And so you wouldn't be able to fill those positions, and then we were able to generate savings from there, and then allocate it to the general fund. And so, if we thought of this in August, it might have been a little better.
Mike.
Excuse me, Jim. I think you forgot me.
Go ahead, Pat. Sorry, I've lost.
But actually, Nathan just addressed the question that I was going to ask. Right. So, I'm trying to think if I still have a question. Does this essentially mean then that we would have to make a decision about every hire that goes beyond that period of time? I don't quite understand, I guess, quite how this would work, because that's what it feels like to me.
Joe, do you want to?
No, it would not affect that. So departments would still have the opportunity to fill positions when they came vacant. The legislature a couple years ago granted me the authority to...
Joe, is that just for a limited period of time if we pass this?
It's really what happens to savings that result from a position being vacant.
At what point would the the funding for that position go into the, not the rollover, but the contingency fund?
At the end of the year.
At the end of the year,
yeah. Okay. When David does his books, he would look at those savings, and if there are savings related to personnel, they would go into the general fund balance without any kind of a dedication or designation.
And then the legislature would have to make a decision as to whether or not that...
No.
No?
That point just goes into the general fund basket, and there's where the money sits with respect to that position in the department's budget.
Should the department wish then to fill the position,
yes,
they would have to come back?
Nope.
No?
No, nope. They'd still be able to do that. As long as there's money in their budget to do it,
okay,
they'd still have the authority to do it. I have sign-off over those appointments, so there's still a control over that.
Okay. Thank you.
Maybe I had Martha, then Frank, then Dooley, and Kathy Schlatter.
There are 14 of us here, or to less than, if the will of the body is to do this for 2010, I mean, if most of us thought we were already doing it, then, I mean, I think we shouldn't spend a lot more time, and we should just vote on this if this is what we'd like to see happen, and then refer it to Budget Committee after this budget is over. So if I can modify my own motion to I don't know
can
if
you
do
what?
That. If I modify my own motion to say that this is, as I said before, just for 2010, and that the Budget Committee should, after the 2011 budget is finished, the Budget Committee should take this up as a possible policy change for the rollover policy.
Point of procedure.
Yeah, Mike.
Since this is the Budget Committee, we could pass this resolution. If Martha adopted it, it could be sent to the full board, us, tomorrow night. It could be added to the agenda and passed.
Makes sense. Okay. Your original resolution was to extend the 29 policy for the 2010 budget.
Am I right?
Originally, I think I said indefinitely, didn't I, Catherine? Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Can I just ask a clarification
sure.
point,
why
please?
Not?
In lieu of a... There's been a resolution with a sunset. There was no successor to that. Is there a, basically like a tri-borough effect to that, and in which case we don't need to do that?
No.
What's a tri-borough?
I think it would give clarity. Again, right now department heads are uncertain about whether this will apply or not, and I think that's, again, I think they believe that the pass is predictive, but this would give clarity to them.
Somebody else wants to make
go ahead, mind. And then Kathy. Frank,
Martha, I'd just as soon have you leave the motion as you proposed it originally. Okay. Indefinitely means indefinitely. It could be 2010, and then tomorrow night we can have it referred to the Operating Budget Committee for review and amend it if we have to. I don't think extending it just till the end of this year. I won't second that. I just as soon have you leave it as indefinite as it as you originally proposed it. I don't want to go back to. Do you remember a guy named Tim Joseph when he formed that special personnel committee and we had to review every single position? I was going back to something Carol asked before, thinking what a nightmare that was. And it was a disaster for the departments as well. So leaving it up to Joe to review them is a good idea. Then you can take the heat.
Kathy, go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I mentioned before that we're kind of desperate, and I'm interested in this suggestion partly because I'd like to know what the impact would be. In other words, what the funding is that it would represent for us. I'm also, as y'all know, a process person, and am aware, as many of you are, that the agenda for this meeting was not made public, at least not to this legislator, until very soon right before the meeting. And that means that maybe some department heads got it earlier than I did, but employees and members of the public aren't really aware of this, and this represents an interesting change in development. I don't think it's drastic or radical because it was mentioned and we did implement it last year for 1 year only, and I want to be clear that I'm someone who understood that it was for 1 year only. I'd like for us to be deliberative about this, if only for the public's sake and the sake of county employees and department heads. I think that rushing into this in our desperation only makes us look less credible in terms of the validity of our deliberations.
Peter.
I have a point of order. It seems to me that to the extent that Martha can be her own friend, she has a perfect right to make a friendly amendment to change her motion to in the way that she said, and if it's okay with her seconder, then we can vote on it.
It's a friend.
What?
Excuse me. You were the seconder, right?
I was.
And
anybody else can make that motion.
That's what I have my hand up for.
I don't know who's next. Dooley, I think.
I thought Kathy Slaughter was next.
No, she said no, she didn't want to. Dooley, then over here, Leslin and Carol, right?
I wanted to move to amend Martha's motion to adopt the wording of the resolution that we passed last year to have it apply this year. And I had that in mind so that if it passes, we can do exactly what Mike said, which is what I was going to say also. We adopt it here, and we get it on the agenda tomorrow.
Do we need a second?
Is that
second.
Okay. Wait. Any further discussion?
I have a question about what you mean by this year.
Yes.
The way it was worded last year was for 2009. This would be for 2010. If that is...
It's what Kathy has read.
We adopt the wording of this resolution. It doesn't say anything about a hiring freeze, the things that Nathan mentioned. It's just the resolution whose very long title Kathy read.
Just the one paragraph?
Yeah.
Who's next? Kathy, Carol.
I'd just like to request that if this does pass, if we would get some figures with regard to the impact.
Yeah, that's...
Carol.
Yeah, I would... If it's in order, I would amend the amendment to read 2010 and 2011. I'm not comfortable with indefinite, but I'd be comfortable, since we're talking about the 2011 budget, I'd be comfortable with...
But the rollover is 2010 rollover. And it affects the 2011 budget,
right,
as I understand it.
So what you're talking about is extending another year. Martha?
Well, David calculates the rollover at the end of the year, and then it is available to be spent in, if we decide, in the middle of next year. So this relates to the rollover that would be generated in 2010. And I think leaving it at 2010 allows time for us to, the budget committee, after budget's done, to look at the policy.
Okay.
And I want to reiterate, this had nothing to do with a hiring freeze or anything like that.
So my clarification is what Martha just said. Then does that mean, Dooley, what you're offering is that it will then go to the budget committee after the budget, whatever configuration, not this big expanded budget committee, for review of the fiscal policy? Or indefinite
That's
or something?
That's up to the budget committee. This would just be something to the legislature tomorrow to adopt or not. If it doesn't want to adopt it, it'll refer it.
For 2010.
For 2010.
Peter.
I call the question on the amendment.
Is there a second?
Will.
All in favor of calling the question on the amendment? Raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. Okay. We're voting on the amendment, and the amendment is to change 2009 to 2010.
Using the same resolution,
and then this will have to be added to the agenda tomorrow evening. Am I correct?
Correct. Yeah. If it passes.
If it passes, right. All in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand.
It's the amendment.
The amendment to the resolution. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay. Opposed? Are you opposed, Peter?
No.
Oh. 1, 2, 3.
That's 15. It can't be.
But 11-3. Peter?
I move the question on the motion.
Is there a second? Will, all in favor of moving the question?
Calling the question.
He was moving the question. Calling the question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, 9 to 5. Now the question. All in favor of the motion.
Can you state the motion?
I'm sorry?
Could you state the motion?
No, I can't.
Change 9 to 10, isn't that
I was a little confused.
Yeah,
that's why.
She'll read it
what
again.
What is the motion?
Resolved that the Tompkins County Legislature hereby and temporarily amends the county's rollover policy for the 2010 fiscal year by directing that personnel-related savings generated by county departments that would otherwise be preserved for departmental rollover proposed instead be dedicated for general county deficit avoidance purposes as deemed necessary and appropriate by the Director of Finance. This amendment to the county's rollover policy shall sunset at the end of the county's 2010 fiscal year.
Anything else? All in favor, raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed? 1, 2. 12 to 2. Whew. That didn't cost anything, did it? I'm not sure. Martha.
I don't know if that was a necessary warm-up, and I don't know if you're ready to take motions that are farther down the list or if you want to take a break. But
Let's take a break for 5 minutes, or until 7, 8 minutes.
All right.
I've had a request from some of you that we take a look at the revenue side, sales tax numbers. David Squires gave us a 2010 summary on our desk as we came in, and in the budget book, it's there also. And let's start with David talking about what you've seen on the sheet that we have in front of us. Go ahead, David. Thank you.
Well, this is hot off the press because we actually got the details of what happened during the third quarter today. But we're right now, we're exactly on budget on the sales tax. We estimate that we'll end up the year with around $29,600,000 in sales tax. And so in the 2011 budget, I'll try to explain the convolution here. There is $28,600,000 budgeted as unallocated revenues. But in the budget, there's actually over $30 million budgeted because there are pass-through sales tax revenues that go along with the sales tax agreement. The sales tax summary I handed out is the total sales tax that's in the budget. So at, like I said, up until last Wednesday, I was very optimistic that we were going to have probably an additional $300,000 in sales tax that we might be able to adjust for next year. But the sales tax payment we got in that settled the month seemed to indicate that the state was over-advancing sales tax and took it back on the third month of the year. Even so, we're up 3% over last year, and the budgets required a 3% growth in sales tax. So we look to be, and on the back of the sheet I handed out, If you look at it, we made an estimate for the last quarter, which is a little, about $100,000 more than the fourth quarter of last year. But if the sales tax estimate was based upon a base of $29,600,000, and if you inflate that forward by 2% and then back out the sales tax that's passed through in the sales tax agreement, you actually come out with what's in the budget right now, $28,600,000. Because there is virtually very little inflation, I think 2% growth in sales tax is a reasonable estimate. But there's no signs that the economy is really growing much. So while we're right now at 3%, I'm not optimistic that we can sustain that.
Questions for David? Frank, I see your hand.
David, is there any way with the municipalities, especially looking at that youth arrangement, the TCOG is looking at that municipal youth services. Is there any way to get some sort of a feel for what that sales tax projection for the fourth quarter, the distribution would be to the municipalities, because they're beginning to put their budgets together, which could reflect or could affect the their thinking on that municipal youth services item?
Well, the municipal sales tax allocation is based upon activity outside the city, and that's been very volatile. If you look at the third quarter, the virtually flat compared to activity within the city. And it goes back and forth. Year-to-date, the allocation based upon inside the city is about half of what it was outside the city. And it's hard to explain why that is. I think that sales tax is components of utility sales, retail sales, and the retail sales, because of the Elmira Road businesses, has basically helped the city out a lot at the expense of areas outside the city in formula.
Carol.
I'm not quite understanding. The estimate in our budget is at 28.6 that you use.
Yeah, and you got to add to it. Yeah, you got to add to it about 1.6 million, which is sales tax that's distributed throughout the budget. Like there's sales tax in human services accounts, TCAT, that we call distributed. So total in the present budget, there's $29,580,000 against an unallocated budget of $28 million. So next year, the unallocated is 28.6, which represents a 2% growth. Where plus you add in the 1.6 million that distributed to get to approximately $30 million. That's $30,181,000 total.
I'm looking at the $29,631,000 total at the county share.
That's unallocated,
total on the back
right.
of this page.
Right.
The estimate.
That represents the total sales tax distributed to the county. And in the county budget,
which includes 1.6.
Yeah, the one. There, yeah, so you back out to get the unallocated amount, which is what we would, supports the county budget for county services.
Brian,
Dave, just so for next year's budget, you have an additional 2% growth anticipated on top of this year's 3.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions to David about revenue? Oh, Martha.
Well, that's all I had about sales tax, but the next page of our salmon pages, there's unallocated revenues, and I was wondering whether there are any changes there. In particular, if you could, I know that there's a change on the payments in lieu, the pilots. If you could talk about that a minute.
I can do the payments in lieu. The big change there is AES coming in as a pilot as opposed to a property tax in 2011. So that's a plus 800 and something. I can't remember the exact amount, but 800,000 plus that will come to us as pilot revenue from AES next year. And so that's why that that number is up.
Martha, what line are you looking at?
That's the third line across that spreadsheet. Payments in lieu. The account number is 41081.
Page 2 of the same issue.
Unallocated revenues, it's titled.
In an unallocated revenues, also I point out that there's a big reduction in interest earnings. The county's earning presently 0.4% on its available idle funds. In past years, it was at least 3%. So we estimate that we're going to get minuscule interest earnings.
Let me also point out line 19 on page 1 of the examine sheet, the overall assessment number. What we have in 2010 adopted, what we are looking at 2011. Martha?
And is that drop primarily the AES value comes out of that line?
Yeah, it's really, the drop is all AES coming out of there. There's been some growth in everything else, and I had a number with me. But there has been some modest growth in everything else, but $160 million in 2010 was there for AES, and that's gone.
Okay, $160 million showed up in 2010,
yes.
And it's out of the 2011 number.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions about revenue, comments, discussion?
I wanted to point out one little wrinkle in the there are certain municipalities that take sales tax as a credit, and in 2011, the town of Enfield has notified us that they're going to stop taking sales tax as cash and take it as a credit, which will mean, as a credit, it's applied to county distribution. So Enfield is going to have a dramatic decrease in the tax rate within the town of Enfield.
Leslie.
So, Joe, could you tell me again where the AES revenue lies now?
I can. Let me get back to the page. It's on page 282.
Right.
And it's the third line down. It's account number 41081. And if you look there, you can see a very significant increase between 2010 and 2011, from $360,000 up to $1.23 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's AES.
Thank you.
Yep.
No, Dooley.
Could I have an explanation of page 404 of the salmon sheets? The first column says 2008 fund balance. What are the other columns' years?
2001.
Could you say that again? Where are you? Page 404.
Is that a mislabeled heading?
Should be 2009.
That's the question.
2008 should be 2009.
That's a year-end balance.
And then it's 2011 target fund balance.
Kevin, could you repeat that? So the first column should be 2009?
Yep. And the subsequent ones should be 2011.
Thank you.
What are the subsequent years?
Yes.
So
2011.
Why is there no 2010 target information?
It's the intent of the page was just to show the 2011 budget.
2010 hasn't been finalized. 2009 has.
There's an estimate.
There is, but I don't.
You don't trust it.
Sorry,
you're looking at 4-4, Kevin?
Yes.
None of the dollar amounts.
None of the dollar
amounts have changed. It's just the type of the heading.
Yep.
Any other questions, comments? Martha?
While we're on these overall pages, I just realized I'm used to seeing a page that has the mandates, sort of one of these horizontal pages that has these sort of Class A mandates showing year to year, and I don't find that.
It didn't get produced this year.
What?
It didn't get produced this year.
So, yeah, it's line number one on the first salmon page.
Yeah, I can get that for you this week.
That'd be great, because that helps us understand
sure.
kind of what's going up, what's going down, what's... Thank you very much.
Anything else for revenue? Okay. Thank you. Hours and 20 minutes later, we have a page full of motions. And I'm going to be crazy and throw this out. There could be 14 reasons, but how would you like to proceed with this, if I can ask? Here is my sense. My sense is that we would take the big ticket items first, and then go down the list, starting with. Well, you know, take the big ones first, and then go down the list. So, I want to get some feelings about what you all want to do. Nate, and then Carol.
First, I think that's a good idea, but I also think we need to be realistic about what we can accomplish tonight.
Right.
So I think that we should say exactly which ticket items we're going to do, and I think if it's a big ticket item, we limit it to only one or two.
Right.
If that, I understand that people, department heads are here, and I'm sorry that they are here, but I also know that they, in their experience over the years, that bad decision making happens. The longer meetings are,
right.
and we get fatigued, and so I think the quality of our decision making should be as sharp as possible. And therefore, I think we should take on just one or two.
Okay, Carol, you had your hand up.
Well, I have a question. I mean, I understand that the agenda for tonight was for us to start making motions, and that was previously determined. I have a question about how the items on this list relate to the items that have been the specific items.
Well,
that have
I think
been
you have to. You have them on your desk, and
well, there's an item that I submitted previously related to weights and measures, for example, that isn't on this particular list. Am I free to make that motion as well?
Yeah, that was not
obviously
a big number, you know, we kind of put the big numbers on the sheet before the smaller numbers.
So then I would speak to the notion of taking big ticket items first. I would prefer to see us take them, maybe even take some small ticket items first to start building some reaction and consensus to proceeding with anything.
May I answer part of your question? Where's your motion? Some department heads were not notified or available, so those were the ones that we went with first. Frank, I think you had your hand up.
I think I was next.
Or Martha, go ahead.
No.
Whatever.
I would just point out that my understanding is that the Commissioner of Social Services will be out of town on Thursday when we next meet. So however you break those up, I hope we get to DSS tonight. But I don't know why these were put in this particular order, but it is a list that we have, so I don't know. Maybe we can get through them.
Kevin, no reason. Alphabetical?
Am I looking at the right page? This is the page that starts with Mike Lane's motions?
It is.
Okay, thank you.
Kathy, or Frank and then Kathy.
First of all, I have two pages. One has at the top of it, and it's horizontal, agenda October 18th, and it's the one, number one, it has a motion by Mike Lane. And then it has the list that begins with the Human Rights Department.
Right.
There's a second page from Kevin that starts with all, attaches the agenda for this evening. And it has, the motions are as follows, Mike Lane. And some of it is the same, right. And some of it covers the item Carol was just mentioning.
Right.
At the appropriate time, it would be helpful to know which list we're going by.
This one.
Okay. Secondly, but that doesn't preclude us from going back to the other list, I hope.
No, Frank, I just gave why the other things weren't on there, because some department heads were not notified, and we didn't want to go doing things when they weren't here.
In the past, one of the objectives that we've had is if you're going to propose adding something back in, you propose an item to offset what the cost of that is. Some of us were in favor of that. I see some head shaking. As an alternative to just raising the tax levy. So I'm not suggesting that become a hard and fast rule, but it sure would be helpful if there might be some thought given to offsetting any increases we are proposing with perhaps a decrease in expenditure. Just a wild idea.
Right, wild idea. I think each person individually should make that determination when they do it. We'll go right down the row here. Who was next? Will? Carol? Kathy, did you have your hand up?
Kathy did.
Your name?
Frank said what I was going to say.
Leslin, you had your hand up?
I do. I'm feeling a little bit at a disadvantage because I recall at least having the opportunity to see what's being proposed and, have a chance to look at stuff myself. I didn't get this until relatively late. And so I appreciate that the department heads were notified of what's on the list. So it feels kind of difficult trying to make decisions and vote on things that, some of them, they're simply not for me. Others, it's just a little bit more difficult. And I just want to voice that. And I also want to echo what Frank has said, given some of the discussion we had earlier, about the RO policy. I'm not going to say the word. That we really take a long, hard look if we're going to recommend where we're adding things, that we also think about places where we're going to take out things or make some cuts or find new revenues or something, so that those of us who would like to support a budget isn't left with, 10% tax levy increase that we can't support.
Brian?
Yeah, just somebody had mentioned early on about just dealing with some big ticket items, and I know there's folks here that have some interest in that, and we also have some other government entities out there that are kind of looking to us for some guidance so that they can do what they got to do. And having said that, I guess I would tend to agree with that, at least for one of them.
Okay. Martha?
Like everybody else, I'll be looking for places to cut or other revenues, et cetera. But we can't do everything at once. So I kind of look first at the OTRs that I felt were important, and for a variety of reasons, and that's kind of where my list came from. And then my sense is I want to see how far we get in terms of restoring critical funding. And I would submit that that fits under Joe's criteria for health and safety for our residents, as well as some for core governance. But I think, and preventive services, things that actually save us money, even in the current budget as well as in future budgets. So I would, my hope is that we will not be constrained by saying, well, where are you going to find a cut? I mean, I think if we can put into a budget the things that we believe are the most important out of all these OTRs, the ones that we think are the most important, and then see where we end up, and then step back and say, okay, well, this is too high a tax levy, I assume is what we will feel. So where else can we cut? Or let's take a second look and maybe take some of those back out again. But my approach is to say, okay, I've filtered these, this whole book, and the ones I proposed are the ones I feel most strongly about. So that's where I started. And as far as committing to finding an exact dollar-for-dollar cut, I can't do that yet, but it's, you know, what I'm going to be working on in the next couple, you know, days or weeks. So so I'm just asking and hoping that people will approach these decisions in that way. We literally can't do everything all at once. So.
Carol.
Yeah, I vividly remember moving last year, just as is being suggested, equal sort of cuts, where my suggested cuts were to make up for the things I was adding, and getting pretty soundly creamed, I think almost unanimously, about that notion at the time, to the point where I'm really gun-shy to try that again. So unless I see somebody else going first, I would have a hard time. I would like to proceed with a particular OTR, which is
that. Carol, I have some other people that I on the list that, as long as we're going down this road, I open it up. I want to let these people talk before we actually move to vote on anything. So do you have anything else you want to say without moving a particular? Okay.
I get the gist now.
I don't think it was you, Carol. I think it was this situation. Nate.
I completely forgot what I was going to say because there's so much stuff. All right, I think we should be realistic about time again. I'm going to just repeat that. Social services, there's like 13 OTRs for social services. And what's going to happen is that we're going to have a discussion where people are going to be like, this is going to serve youth. And people are going to be like, whoa, what are youth between the age of 5 and 13? No, they're actually between 5 and 4. It's going to, every single OTR is going to take at least 20 to 30 minutes. We should dedicate, if Patricia's not going to be here on Thursday, we should dedicate next week to doing it, frankly. Time. All right, and hit those with actual the attention that it deserves. I think tonight we should do youth services because, as Brian said, especially if we entertain Mike Lane's motion, this will affect the budgets of the towns and cities, and they're in the middle of crafting that right now. In fact, the city of Ithaca has a budget meeting as we speak. And so I think we should tackle that. It makes sense to tackle it. It's a big-ticket item, and it is so big-ticket that it will affect the way that we view the rest of the budget after we make a decision on it. So we should take it now.
Pat.
At the risk of getting creamed, as apparently Carol was last year, I made the assumption coming into this, which obviously I shouldn't have made, that there would be discussion of what the trade-offs would be when we talked about these proposals to add funds. And absent that type of discussion, I'm willing to keep an open mind about it, but I have to say honestly that I'm going to have a very hard time supporting any of these without knowing what the possible trade-offs are going to be in order to keep the tax levy at the target that we've set.
Kathy?
Thank you. I have a few points. I'll keep them brief. The department heads, I think, have done a pretty good job of educating us about some of the pros and cons of these difficult decisions. I agree with Carol and Pat that on this body, one can get creamed for proposing cuts. I would propose, however, that it's easy to get agreement to spend money. It makes us feel good. We know we're doing the right thing, and in our community that demands a high quality of life, we've gotten feedback from our constituents that that's something they appreciate. However, I think that we should keep in mind in our discussions that those who do support cuts, who introduce cuts, who have the fortitude to stand up to what may be a wall of opposition for actually trying to keep some of the increases down, I ask that they be treated with respect. I think that we can do this, but I want to reiterate what I've learned from hard experience on this board, and that is it's easy to add, it's hard to take back out again. So whatever we add tonight, we should do, or any of these nights, we should do in a way that is circumspect, because getting 8 votes to take things out is very difficult on this body.
Leslyn Will Carroll.
She said what I wanted to say.
Will?
Well, I completely agree with Kathy that we should maintain a sense of respect. We're all struggling with this. I do not believe that we have to balance every ad with a reduction. In fact, as you know, I support bumping the levy up because I think as much as Joe struggled to live within the 5% that we gave him, the reality of what we've created is going to inflict so much pain and ultimately so much added cost down the road to our community that it is fundamentally unrealistic. So I think as we go, it's perfectly okay to add. We will then have to say we'll have to look at what we've created, and there will, you know, we'll have an update on the screen as we go, and we will come to terms, and if we don't have 8 votes, we revert to Joe. That's our process, and you know, I think it's, you know, but I completely agree. We got to do so with a sense of mutual respect, and nobody should be creamed for trying to make it work.
Well, I'm not really for mutual respect, Carol. Go ahead. No, you said no.
Well, at some point, I'd like an update from Joe about the items that we've asked about along the way, the planning commissioner, highway commissioner item, and there was something else that came up as to whether there was an error in the budget about
the COFA. Martha, Peter.
Carolyn, I know it felt like you were creamed, but I think the problem was, and this is the problem of pairing two motions together, is that somebody may agree with one half of it and not the other half of it. So that's kind of why I'm suggesting that if we're, I mean, it's interesting that nobody actually proposed any motions to cut. That certainly was everybody's opportunity to do that.
We have time.
Right away. Right. No, of course. But what we have so far are these motions to add, and I think we shouldn't just kind of wait and not do anything until we see some cut motions. So I and I would agree with Will that when we voted to have a 5% levy target in May or June, whatever it was, that we wanted to see what that would look like. And, you know, now we see what it looks like, and it's not pretty, and there are things that are going to really hurt our citizens and hurt our pocketbooks, hurt the county's pocketbook, even short, middle, and farther term, if we don't address them. And I'm willing to stand up and take that position, even if it means that the levy goes up.
I have Peter, Pat, Brian, Mike.
Well, for me, this has been so far a learning experience. I didn't submit any motions, decided not to do it unless I saw what happened. When we made the 5% decision some months ago, I turned to someone and said, well, as near as I can tell, what that means is that's not what we think the tax levy is going to be. We think that's the lower limit of what the tax levy is going to be, that it must mean that it's going to be higher because people will put things on, and it does seem to me hard to figure out what to take out. And people said, no, that's you wait and see. It's not what's going to happen. Well, it seems to me, despite what Martha says, that's what's happened, okay? We've seen a whole bunch of pluses, And it's a whole, as many people have said, it's a whole lot easier, and you get smiles on your face when you put things back in, and you don't get smiles on your faces when you take things out. I have no idea myself what to put back in and what to take out, but it does seem to me that a process like the one that we're talking about will inevitably end up with a tax levy increase that is considerably larger than the 5% that we started with. So I would think that a more reasonable thing, I don't see why you have to start with minuses and why you have to, or why you have to wait until you all satisfied your, I'm sorry, I got mixed up. I don't see why you have to satisfy yourself for what you want to do and then look and see if there's anything that you could do to countermand it.
May I make a comment? You don't have to. You can do what you want to do. You know, you want to add 3% to the budget? You know, knock yourself out.
No.
I mean, it's...
I understand that.
Anyone can do whatever they want.
I feel personally I don't have enough experience to suggest taking something out. But when I look at this, I'm not going to vote for putting anything in because I just don't see that process ending up with anything other than a considerably expanded tax levy. Thank you.
Pat, I appreciate that comment.
Building on what Peter has said, which is part of what I was planning to say, and thinking about the fact that it's been made pretty clear that we can't do more than one thing at a time, we have to focus on one or the other, I would like to suggest that for the remainder of the time that we've scheduled this evening, which is until 8 o'clock, that we talk about youth services. However, that beyond talking about youth services, we then go to a process of talking about what we would take out of the budget, and we come back on Thursday with proposals for cuts, and that we deal with the cuts before we deal with the add-ins.
I had Brian.
Thanks. Yeah, you're right. I think it was back in May when we had that 5%. And, I distinctly remember Frank wanting 10. So, but whatever. I guess my head's the other
Frank
way.
Frank who?
Is that a question?
No. No, that was an observation that I still am curious if I actually saw that. But anyways.
Look at the time we would say the departments would still but have.
Anyways, I'm completely the other way in that I truly believe that we're probably next year looking at 2% tax caps, nothing better for pensions or health care, and losing 780,000 in FMAPs. So that might have some bearing on what it is we're doing this year.
May I suggest that all of you don't put out your A stuff tonight? There's plenty of time over the next 5 weeks. You know, you could save some of this. But I know I kept everyone down during the questioning part of the budget. But you know. That's good, Brian. Mike, I had Mike, Nate, and Dooley.
I just wanted to say I liked what Pat Pryor just said. I think that was a good game plan. I'm having trouble here to be able to vote for anything. I'd like to. Even some of my proposals here have talked about increased spending, but we've set aside rollover. Sadly, the sales tax isn't doing as well as we'd hoped. I don't know where the money's going to come from.
Good point. Nate?
My comment will not add any value, so pass. Take heed.
Go get him, man.
Dooley.
What most of you don't know is that I tried on Sunday to email a bunch of suggested motions to Kevin, but my attachment and email did not reach him, so I emailed them again this afternoon, but he had already produced the agenda here. Some of what I have duplicates what's on here, and I think we should absolutely, in our remaining few minutes, take what's on here. rather than try to jump to youth services, we at least start social services tonight. So start with human rights, mental health, probation, which is related to social services. I hope we can do these.
That's a suggestion, Martha.
Yeah, I feel that we've spent, this has been a fine conversation, but we have department heads behind me that have been waiting all night, and it's too bad that we haven't been able to take some action so far. I hope we get some action in tonight.
How do I take that? Go ahead, Leslie.
Yeah, I just want to offer as well. Martha, I hear what you're saying, but there are people who are confused about what the process is going to be, and I think if you have folks who are going to vote on this, they need some clarity about what they're going to do. So I appreciate the fact that the department heads have been waiting, but I think they would prefer that people are clear on what they're voting on, and they get something out of it. I, like Dooley, you know, have a number of proposals for add-ins and cuts that I couldn't get to wherever when I finally saw the email what the process is. So I try to clarify with Jim what it is we're doing tonight so I had a sense of what it is that we're doing. So I am hoping that, you know, I can get whatever it is to Kevin, or at least mine to Kevin. Some of them are duplicates here. That would include some cuts so that the folks who are new and not sure what is supposed to happen have a sense of what it all would look like once we get everybody's stuff together, because that's, for me, is kind of what's missing. And on that note, I do want to echo Dooley and say, since we're here, I'm fine with us starting with what's being presented as our agenda for tonight.
Carol?
So I would still like to move OTR 105 first. It's a good middle-of-the-road amount on this list. It was the Preventive Youth Services, the Advocacy Center, that was the support for youth who have been sexually abused or have witnessed sexual abuse. It is an item to which a bunch of us had an almost visceral reaction, and it is one that our staff have said that if it goes away, it's not an item that the private sector is not allowed to do themselves, that has to go through the county. So I think that's one that we might be able to deal with. It's $16,576.
Is there a second?
Second.
Kathy? Discussion. We'll go this way. Pat, Peter, and who else had their hand up? Martha, anyone over here? Pat, Peter, and Martha.
While I might at some point down the road be willing to support this, I'm not going to support it at this time because I don't see any kind of a corresponding cut that would offset the tax levy.
Okay. Peter?
Well, I'm one of those people who had an absolute visceral reaction to this and could not fathom why it was being done. But then I felt confused because when I looked on the list of, I was told that the OTRs were in the order that they were deemed important by the department head, it was quite far down on the list, and I couldn't imagine it not being number one on the list. So, you know, I have this feeling that I really should be very careful about not taking the suggestions of importance given by the department head as a very strong indicator of what to do. I'm all by myself here, and I just don't feel I have enough understanding of anything in this to make an independent judgment. Now, I'm overstating the case, but that's something I feel. So I would, before voting for this, and as I said, it would be really easy for me to vote for it, I would like to understand how it can be that it was so low on the list when this group of people really defines the limit of vulnerability. And there is nobody else to pick up the slack. That why is it that that's not higher on the list?
And are you looking for an answer? Or is
yes,
that
I'm looking for an answer. Authority. Yeah, it was not just a statement.
Oh.
When I gave my presentation, what I've reminded everyone is I believe I had 28 cuts that I had to make. This is not a weighing of this program is not important and another program is important. I had to structure this the way I was instructed. So by saying that the Advocacy Center is lower on the list, it had no way, shape, or form saying that it is less value. My thinking into at least putting some structure into place, our mandate is to prevent children to coming into foster care. It's to protect children through Child Protective Services. It is to serve our clients. The programs and services that we put higher on our priority are meeting our direct mandates. Many of the other programs and services that we have out as over targets, no one else is going to do those programs. The DAP program, if that goes away, there is no other program in the county that is going to pick up that service. If the parenting classes go away, there is no other program in the county that is going to pick up the service. So I just want to clarify that this is not a list of who is working well and who's not working well, or who's important and who's not important. All of our clients are important. There are many, many people in this community who are at risk of harm, and this was extremely difficult for our department to put a list together saying number 1 through 28. So that's how we came up with the list.
Martha Carroll.
I'm looking at page 88 on the OTR pages, and I see that the revenue, Patricia, I assume this is right, that the revenue associated with this is $53,925.
Yes.
So if we spend 16.5, we draw down almost $54,000.
Exactly. This is money from the State of New York Office of Children and Family Services. That's what they will grant us if we come up with the funds of $16,556.
And this is the COPS funding that if we eliminate this program, this reimbursement will go away and not be available ever again.
Right.
And I want to ask Joe, why didn't you fund? I need to know what was your decision-making process, and then I have a comment.
Yeah, I tried to explain it the other night when Patricia was here. It was really based on three things. One, the same old answer, the availability of resources. The second is, this was a one-time, I believe this is among the one-time items from last year. Several of these were one-time items last year, and that kind of affects the way you look at them for a subsequent year. It was a one-time item, and that time had come and gone. The third was, to the extent that we had resources, we put them behind the highest priorities of the department. And I respect absolutely what Patricia is saying, and I think Brian characterized it pretty well. It's kind of a lateral prioritization. But in terms of where the money went, generally we tried to stick with the priorities that were established by the department.
And the people who are abused and treated by this program are our citizens, as well as the people who will have to pay. How do you split $16,000 among 100,000 people? I really think we have a responsibility to fund this. Rather than throw away $54,000, for example, I think this is the responsible vote.
Carol?
Yeah, in response to Peter, I just want to point out that our department heads have to prioritize according to the needs of their departments. The legislature has to prioritize the needs across departments. We have to prioritize the needs, the short and long-term needs of the community, and counting current members of recipients of a particular program that may be current clients of a particular department is not all that we look at, and it's not all that our department heads look at either, but their priorities take that into account, and we have to look across the whole.
I appreciate the lesson, but what's your sense of this resolution? I mean, you made it.
So that is one of the the reason that I was proposing this first is that I think there's a cost to the community, to okay. our other departments specifically, that may not be to this particular department only, For this and for other programs.
Okay, Carol, or I'm sorry, Kathy Frank.
Dooley. Thank you. I think it's fine that this was first out of the box. Partly, I seconded it to demonstrate that some of the places where we're willing to add in don't by any means preclude us, and by that I mean myself, being willing to take out somewhere else. I prioritize this because of the victims, because it's a service that's, as has been said, irreplaceable, and because of what the impact will be on our community, not just if we don't do it, but the impact that it has when we do it. So I'm very pleased to second this, and I don't want anybody to interpret this as a sign that I'm going to be interested in adding on. I'm willing to try to take out everywhere that I can, so understand that. And I actually have, just so that people know, some numbers in mind, but didn't have a chance to pull them together on such short notice for tonight's meeting because I didn't understand the process, and I didn't get the list or the agenda until much later in the afternoon than I was able to respond to.
I have Frank. Thank you, Kathy. I have Frank and then Dooley.
Thanks, Jim. Carol, since you proposed this, I'm looking at page 88 in our book. The OTR. I'll give you a chance to get there. The three numerical items are services to recipients and negative 27,000 approximately. Program expense, it's the approximate 54,000 Martha mentioned that is on the income side, and then social services charge of about $10,000, leaving a balance of 16.5, which is what the mm-hmm. request is. Have you looked at the program expense to understand where the money is being spent? I mean, we just have three lines to look at here. Do you have any idea how the money within this program is being spent?
Who are you asking?
Carol. She's proposing it.
I had a discussion with the director of the agency involved, but I don't know that I want to speak for her.
Why not? It's all well and good that we have department heads here, but we're, the legislature is the one proposing these things. Shouldn't we understand what comprises the expenses of some of these items? And the income side, of course. The income, I suspect, Martha, is from a state grant or something like that.
I'll point you to the page in our program book that I'll happy to lend you my copy.
Carol, you're the one that proposed it. I think you have to be in a position to try to explain it. And I'm going to probably put some of you on the spot doing this with other things, too. Because I don't think we ought to do it willy-nilly. I mean, I heard somebody say at the beginning, maybe it was Peter, about the feel-good, and, you know, I want to see the psychologist be restored also. But I think in order to do that, I ought to be prepared to defend what it is that they're asking for instead of turning to a department head and saying, well, you know, it's up to you to defend some of the numbers. If you're proposing this, I suspect you spoke to the department head or the program director. Can you help me understand how this money is spent?
Kathy, will you volunteer?
Sure. I can take the narrative and point out the in generalities, and I think that beyond the feel-good, this is going to help you understand some of the specifics involved of what you'll be getting for the $53,925. These are children and youth who are victims of sexual abuse and or domestic violence. Staff from the Advocacy Center provide advocacy, emotional support, individual and group counseling, and transportation services. More than that, listen to this. Staff also accompany children and youth during medical exams. This is presumably after domestic and or sexual violence. They accompany them to the criminal investigation and court appearances. Think about being a youth that has been a victim in these situations and the importance of having an advocate and someone who knows the system to be able to support you during this. In addition, DSS works closely with the Advocacy Center when we are doing child abuse slash neglect investigations. Any of you that know a little bit about the system know that these investigations can be incredibly delicate and in very trying circumstances. The Advocacy Center often continues to work with children and youth when they are placed in foster care. Anyone who's familiar with the foster care system knows the importance of having an advocate and someone providing oversight in those situations. 58, fine, money well spent.
So basically, I mean, I read the program description too. I appreciate your help on this, Kath. Am I more right than wrong that the majority of this money is spent on salary?
That was my impression, but okay. It also involves transportation services.
Thank you.
Dooley.
Just for the record, this was one of the
ones
that I had
misspoke. I see some grimacing going on in the back. I apologize if I'm misspoken. If somebody cares to correct the record on that, I'd be happy to
leave
be corrected.
It. Leave it great. Leave it.
Grimaces are okay.
Well, I like to read body language because I mess up all the time. I know it's my job to represent, but I'm not always right in what I guess.
Kathy, you were perfect.
Thank you.
Leave it alone.
I just wanted to put on the record that this is one of the things in my list also, so that if you look at the agenda for tonight and it says Chalk Robertson, it could equally say Kiefer.
And McBean Claiborne.
And Burbank.
Okay.
Anything else? All in favor of this motion, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed to this motion. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
We got one in.
I'm sorry? Yes?
Mr. Chair, I just would like...
The motion passes, by the way.
I would just like to ask that you use this one as an example to point out what we do with the chart at the back of the room there.
What?
I thought it might be helpful for people who haven't been through the process before if we use this as an opportunity to explain the table on the screen at the back of the room.
Thank you, Frank. Kevin, do you want to explain the screen at the back of the room?
Sure. I was just informed I have a little small number error up in the top. But this is basically everything that comes to the floor. I can make adjustments to numbers, and you can see the bottom line at the top. You see county administration up there at the top in the center is a $40 million tax levy. And below that is any motions that you approve. And of course, or are discussing, I can adjust it so that it shows what the tax levy would be. So over to the left, where it says says 6.41, that would be the tax rate per $1,000, so the mill rate. And of course, I think most of it's pretty self-explanatory. And the OTR numbers, the dark green up there in the left, 105. Below that is the description and the dollar amounts.
Kevin, where's your mistake? Well, we're making people.
No, it's the change in tax rate where it says 6.9%.
Right.
Joe has a discrepancy, so I have to make sure that that's right or fix it.
So it's Joe's fault.
Well, Joe either has a 6.85 or it's 6.9 to start, and I need to just make sure that the denominator is correct.
Did you have your hand up?
I did. I just realized that in Carol's motion, which I voted on, although it's written here, it wasn't verbalized if that's a target increase or one time. Because we've done this one time all the time, so I just need us to have on record what it is.
Is this one time or target?
It was target. Thank you, Leslyn, for clarifying that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the instructions we got. Someone else, Brian?
I guess I would just like to say it's somewhat of a question, but That was the very first item that we voted on. I voted against it. It was because of, not because of the subject matter. Let's put it that way. I've seen enough of that at myself so that I would never do that. But Nate tells me that if that had been defeated, or even now that it's been approved, it can still be brought up at a later time.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Martha?
I would like to move the Human Rights Department, OTR 51, $587. It's on page 40. And if I get a chance, a second, I'll...
Second.
Is there a second, Leslie?
Explain it. I think for the sake of $587 to deprive this halftime person who's going from full-time, correct, Sean, full-time, to halftime, that we should include this person at a rate where she can get benefits.
Any other comments? Mike?
Do we have a cutoff of how much an over-target should be? This is such a small one, and it's in amount, it's pretty insignificant. In purpose, it's good, you know, and I'll probably support it because it's so small. But do we have a
cutoff?
How does that work?
I don't think so, no.
Just that. So if somebody wants to put in a $5 over-target, they can do that?
Yeah, because that, we need to spend 25 minutes on that.
No, $5 is 45 minutes.
Oh, okay. Any other comments about this, Brian?
Yeah, although that I'm not sure that's right unless somebody tells me different. But if this gets her up, or this person up to where they're getting benefits, it in fact is much more than this amount for the benefit.
That was my question. Joe,
do you want to jump in?
Every time I ask something, it's. It's basically for Joe. I'm looking right at him.
Oh, well, okay.
So if Joe could answer that for me, I'd appreciate it.
I feel special because of it. I think fringes are in your budget, right? So it wouldn't be adding any additional fringes. This simply allows this person to benefit.
By somebody going from full-time to part-time.
So the budget was not adjusted to delete the fringes.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Anything else? All in favor, raise your hand, please.
Wait.
Is it Target?
Yes.
Target.
Did you call
for a vote?
Are you calling for a vote?
Calling for
what's
votes.
That?
Were you calling for a vote?
I was. All in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed. 1, 2, 3. Okay. 11-3. 11-4.
I 11-4 can't be 11-3.
Yes. Peter's got a question.
I would like to adjourn this meeting right now.
Second.
All in favor of adjourning the meeting right now, please raise your hand.
Thank you.
Opposed, Penny? Thank you very much.
Thank you.